I guess we have to all pay homage to LeVar Ball for pushing this narrative forward with the JBA.
Shout out to the JBA. what did that stand for? Junior Basketball Association?
Yeah, I've seen highlights of them like playing around. I'm like, damn, this is a weird... I just waited for the 30 for 30 because he just destroyed that the youngest son's career like that, boy.
Which one?
Not the thief. The other one.
The one that Trump got Send out. Send the link.
Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain, co-pilot, and co- leader of the Nets Navy, Deej Dollars DJ. How are you, sir?
Working title, Nets Navy.
Nets Navy.
You guys email TV. Us, send it to our P.O. box, any suggestions. We're trying to cultivate. One,
Barclays Center.
Yeah. We're trying to cultivate this decrepit, what's the opposite of decrepit? This burgeoning Nets fan base.
I like how you flipped that. Positivity.
Yeah, because this is the beginning.
It's the apotheosis. Early days of what's a boisterous and fervent fan base of Nets basketball.
Yes.
So why are we talking about this today? Why do we jump off with this? For two reasons. Number one, NBA season has began. As fervent basketball fans ourselves, we have to put you into our NBA fandom through our lens of wise and introspective analysis.
Yes.
So get ready.
Yeah. And
DJ, what else?
There was a second bullet.
Yes. Why are we talking basketball today?
Because we're going to the season opener. That reminded me of that, like the Family Guy thing. But yeah, exactly. They're playing the Knicks. Boo.
Boo. But I kind of am a Knicks fan.
I mean,
Municipal pride.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been just happy all week. It's been dark times throughout this year, but there's always a bright spot in the middle of October when the new NBA season starts. Just a great time, great games, great storylines. Jimmy Butler, LeBron James, the doldrums of the Warriors dynasty, the burgeoning Nets.
Yes, the Melo and the Rockets.
Melo, they played terribly the first game.
Wasn't his fault, though.
Wasn't his fault. Anthony Davis and the discombobulated Pelicans have a crazy, weird roster, but are somehow very good.
I love them. Big Pelicans fan over here.
Yeah, it's best front court in the league, looks like.
So it's a lot of things to be excited about. And, of course, as we have sort of stated earlier, we will be in the building.
Yeah. Try and support the home borough team. I think we're like co-presidents of the actual Nets fan club. There are not very many people there at this point, but we are arms open to any and all potential converts.
Please join the tentative TBA Nets Navy.
What was the other one? Nets Nation?
Nets Nation.
We're going to like workshop this in real time. And
Nets Work.
Network. Network is like the action.
Network.
Yeah, network.
So hashtag like network. Somebody makes a nice highlight. Ooh, alley-oop. Alan Crabb to Kenneth Faried. Alley-oop. Network.
Network. Yeah. This took us a long time to get to these very contrived calls. But, hey, man. I mean, you got to fit those names in. Nick's tape was solid. That came into fruition maybe like 2 years ago.
2 years ago? That's been going on for...
Longer than that?
Since Shump was there.
Since Shump was there?
Yeah.
That was three hairstyles ago. Okay.
That's when it began.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Did he have a mixtape at the time that cross-branded it? Or?
That's a good question. I'm not entirely sure if that's what happened there, but it definitely was like in the Shumpert waning mellow years that began. So
yeah, those are dark times as well.
But we could pay homage to that. It was a good time for cool Knicks characters.
Yeah, seems for some reason it always seems like the Knicks have characters. The Nets don't really have many characters right now.
But yeah, so yeah, all right. So well, yeah. if you have an application in your hand for Nets Network, the Nets Nation,
the network,
there's plenty of NBA characters on our team that you can be ready to support and cheer for. We have D'Angelo Russell, ooh, he of Snitch City, he of ice in his veins. He of the time is now. One of the great tattoos in NBA basketball. I'm a fan of it.
All right.
growing out his dreads potentially to block his vision. I don't know what's going on. Why is he not going to have it back in the ponytail while he's playing?
Yeah, him and Brandon Ingram, right?
It's just like it's covering your face. So he's mercurial. We have Alan Crabb still holding to the mid-pro hawk thing.
He's still holding on to that.
Holding on to that
style. Late alt style. Okay. Him and James Harden.
That's happening. We have Rondae Hollis Jefferson.
He has a tattoo of himself on his back.
Which is questionable.
Questionable.
But if he was on any other team, you'd love him. You just know
that. He's a utility player. He's
that guy. He's just there.
Yeah.
And we have Jared Allen. One of the future great centers of the NBA team.
You're digging deep, Brandon, but I really appreciate it.
DJ will recognize the joy and love of Jared Allen as he witnesses the opening night at Barclays Center.
How's that afro going up and down the court?
Shooting corner threes.
It reminds me of like
blocking shots.
I remember that was a big thing like in the early 2Ks or lives. You would just like give your character an afro because it just looked funny. But now it doesn't seem as cool. So I don't know. He'll catch up though.
Most definitely.
Good prospect.
We say all this to say, all of our excitement and energy about the upcoming NBA season, because it's something that we don't get a lot to speak about. We're very staid over here lately, you know, talking politics, dystopian techno futures, and I don't know, other weird parts of internet, logistical issues of various weird businesses and the things that we talk about, social strife, all these things.
Yeah.
And we are... We're a lighthearted pair.
Yeah.
Like to have a good time.
Yeah.
So we wanted to talk to you guys about one of our joys, one of which that I've committed my financial commitment to the Brooklyn Nets for this year. So we're trying to participate. But outside of our individual Nets fandom, what are you excited about? What have you seen this year? And we do have an article, FYI, related to this topic. So don't feel like we're getting off topic here.
Yeah, I've stayed up to like at least 1 a.m., 3 out of past 4 nights watching first week NBA games just to get see the layout of the league. Obviously, I'm pretty sure Thursday ratings are probably the highest that they've ever been for the late night NBA game in which LeBron James made his debut against the very good Portland Trailblazers. Like sneaky good, still probably going to be a 3 or 4 seed.
No.
Want to bet?
One of the teams I hate the most in the league is the Portland Trailblazers.
Why?
Because they're trying to do something which can't be done.
What?
Which is play a 2-guard, strong, heavy team and expect to like be good.
Well,
Just give up on trade one.
Both their guards didn't really play well, and they still won.
Because they have Evan Turner, and they don't have anybody I know. Like, besides Evan Turner.
Alfred Camino went to my rival high school. He's a couple years older than me.
He's still around. Okay. Yeah. But
Zach Collins, come on. Gonzaga product? He played well, though. Actually, Nurkic came in and was trash. And
he didn't start.
No, but the minutes he played were really bad. They played really well when Zach Collins was in. But at the same time, the Lakers that was their first game with this Frankenstein team that they have with literally no shooting.
How do you feel about this sort of the hoopla around this meme team? Was it satisfied upon first viewing?
They were entertaining. And they're going to be on television a lot. All of the games will be compelling. They look to me as not like that mediocre team like the Nets where they'll be in a lot of games and the Nets will just wind up losing. The Lakers will be in a lot of games. I don't know if they'll win a lot of hard-fought Western Conference games, at least as currently constructed. Maybe with a few roster changes or lineup changes. For one, Josh Hart definitely needs to start over Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Like that's interesting that you say that because he's so supposedly a shooter. Isn't he bigger than Josh Hart? And he's also a shooter as well. I mean, they're similar.
Yeah, but he just wasn't effective by at all. And Josh Hart went ham. Josh Hart had like at least 18 points. He made 3 threes, a couple of and ones, went strong to the basket. He played really well. Hmm. Right now, and played well next to LeBron, which matters the most. They played up tempo style, which was a cool clash compared to Portland. That plays very short, slow basketball. But Portland adjusted to the Lakers style of play and still wound up winning by double digits. But that's probably more of a testament to the roster construction because things fit together, albeit with the two shooting guards. And also the continuity. They had 11 players from the roster come back from last season. Damn near more than half of the Lakers roster is new, including one LeBron James. So it's not that's surprising that they don't have it all figured out. Although most of their players played individually well, at least the newer guys.
I saw Rondo was really good.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of disappointing or sad that like Lonzo Ball didn't start. Rondo started over him, which I guess is an argument that makes sense. But that's definitely, just for the psychological part of it, is going to affect his development. He may be a trade candidate. I don't know how patient LeBron will be. Like, it's all, you know, hugs and smiles now, but we'll see, like, in the latter half of the season when they're, you know, 35 and 32 and want to make a push. We'll see.
I couldn't imagine them trading him. Like, I know that.
Not just him, but, like, you get what I'm saying. Like, they have a lot of players on the team. He has the
shelves open.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, he didn't play that well yesterday.
Were you there for the sort of, did you feel the buzz of it, though? Just the social buzz of this Showtime moment? I just feel like I saw the opening thing. It's like, they traded three dunks. LeBron, Lillard. LeBron.
Yeah, it started off jittery. It started off super jittery for both teams. You know, LeBron just has that magnetic quality and gravity to him. So everyone acknowledged and understood what was going on. Excuse me, what was going on, you know, when the ball went up. So both teams were jittery, running up and down the court. LeBron wound up, his first 2 points as a Laker, well, first 4 points, I guess, technically, were these dunk man dunks, like the same dunk man silhouette, like that on his sneakers and stuff. Like, that's his signature dunk. That's how it was. Lillard, in between that, had a nice drive and dunk to the drive and slam. So, yeah, that's how it started. It was pretty cool. But as the game went on, I think everybody kind of settled down and Portland was able to get within the game. And what really buoyed them in the first half was Nick Stauskas basically just went off. I don't know if you watched
former
that.
Nets.
Yeah. Former Net?
Yeah.
Former Sixer? Former yes. King?
Yes.
In former three, Michigan
in,
Wolverine.
In 3 years.
I know. He got passed around pretty quickly. Hopefully he finds, you know, his stride there. You know, more power to him. But he definitely had a really good first game. Played with confidence. Like, he was just hot. And they still should have passed him the ball more than they did at certain points. But did well.
Does Portland have the most white people per capita right now in terms of NBA teams?
White people per team. How does Oklahoma? Oh, no, Utah.
Really?
I don't know.
Portland, I'm pretty sure they have Zach
How many
Collins,
black Mormons are
Zach
there?
Zach Collins, Stauskas.
Jake oh, on Layman. The team?
Yeah. Jake Layman.
Jake Layman. Shout out to Jake Layman.
Yeah.
You know, Indiana, they were trying really hard after the Malice at the Palace.
Years, yeah.
They were holding that down
Jeff
pretty
Foster
hard by
years.
Jeff Foster, Tyler Hansborough. Like, I just knew they were going to wind up with Tyler Hansborough at one point. I just knew that was going to happen. Utah is always in the midst of that. But yeah, kind of those teams, they traded around. Usually they have like a very, no pun intended, dark moment. And then they're like, all right, we just got to get these niggas out here and just kind of whiten up the team. So, you know, you had like the Jailblazers. Everybody's getting arrested. Damon Stoudemire, Z-Bo, Darius Miles, all those.
God, Bonzi Wells.
Bonzi Wells, Sheed. And those teams had talent, but they were just dysfunctional. So I don't know. Maybe they feel like the white guys maybe not as talented, but they just aren't. They don't act out as much. I don't know. They may be a bit racially tinged, but
I mean, they don't get as bored, so they don't get
yeah out there in Portland. Like, there's only so many nature trails you could walk and shit. They want to go to the club.
Okay, wait a minute. Zach Collins, Jake Layman, Myers Leonard, Nick Stauskas, and that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Rescinded comment.
I mean, I'd be curious to know who's holding down that title now. As I said, the Pacers really had a hold on that for a minute, a couple seasons ago. Like, prior to the Danny Granger, Paul George era. Yeah. But yeah. What were your early observations?
That Anthony Davis is my MVP, and he's the second best player in the league.
He is awesome, yeah.
A friend of the pod, my boy John Collins, came here last weekend, and he tried to convince me that Kevin Durant was the best basketball player in the world.
In the league?
And
in the world?
And I realized it was a contrarian argument, but as I sit here today, Anthony Davis is just so physically superior.
He's really good.
And I'm just like, wow, this guy's great.
He's Like, he affects everything. Like, when he's on the court, like, he's just, like, all over the court. That's similar to, like, him, LeBron, obviously, and Kawhi Leonard. Durant is almost kind of like that, but, like, those three.
Foot speed.
Yeah. Like,
length, they're just everywhere.
Yeah, those three players, like, they're just everywhere on the court. Like, I know, yeah, it almost, he doesn't even have to really fill up the stat sheet like that, but it's just, like, he affects everything that happens.
And he fills up the stat sheet just of his pure existence. Because yeah. It's like, oh, you have 20 points off of just easy dunks. Just
yeah, tip dunks.
You're just too tall and athletic. So I was really impressed with him. And thus far, other than that, I haven't really watched any full games. I'm just trying to get in tonight. It'll be a good experience. But I'm just trying to ease my way into the NBA season without having too many expectations. Because obviously we're going to have a Warriors championship. That's pretty excited.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm trying to enjoy the underlying narratives of the year.
Yeah, any hopes or expectations for your Nets? I know you just said you didn't want to have explicit expectations, but I can tell you mine after.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to, maybe like a 40-42 season.
Oh, like competitive.
Yeah, like if they make the playoffs, or just if things don't go well quickly. And if things go well, I want them to just lean into that.
Okay.
If things start to go poorly in South, I want you to lean into the tank. I just want you to lean into what is supposed to be.
Yeah, I'm tank all the way. I want them to go over 82. Shout out to Hove.
So you're rooting for a loss tonight.
Yeah, a close loss though, not a blowout. No blowouts. That's just not fun.
We did that all last year. There was that. We're almost there.
Yeah, you know, and we could sustain one more year. That the stench of the Billy King trade is almost finally off of us in the borough. In the 2019 draft, the Nets will have their own first round pick, not swapped with anyone. So. If we can get one of those top three picks, it looks like a couple of franchise-changing players will probably be coming out. Probably all three of them will be at Duke right now. whether it's like R.J. Barrett or Zion Williamson or the other kid.
Cam Reddish.
Yeah, Cam Reddish. So they all have a lot of buzz. And really, that's all this team and this borough needs right now. I feel like Brooklyn deserves a good basketball team with notable players, and that's probably what they don't have. They have a workman team right now that is competitive, or at least the buzz is that the organization is run well, cohesive.
Right,
yeah, but they just don't have the players because everything was just so depleted, and you can only do so much with, you know, the 18th pick in the NBA draft for, you know, 3 years in a row while the Celtics get fucking Jason Tatum.
Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. So That still hurts me just to think about that.
Also James Young, so that one worked out okay, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know where he is now, but shout out to James Young. But yeah, so I'm still on this Nets 2022 bandwagon for champions.
Okay.
Yeah. Anybody is open to join me?
Well, next year, if everything goes according to your dreams and plans, we'll be looking at a Zion Williams and Jimmy Butler led team 3-4, still keep D'Lo and maybe I don't know someone else at the two, and then Jared Allen.
I'm with that, or Clay, like anybody that wants to come in, we can give you the full bag, and the team will go from mediocre to pretty good to, you know, between the 3 and 6 seed in the East. And we'll continue to build from there. But at least the excitement will be there. It's already an enticing destination for players to come to because it's, you know, New York City, Brooklyn. And then we'll just be back on the map. Like, there was excitement here when the trade not to be named happened. But it just fell off the rails so quickly that everybody just kind of moved on. And you walk past the Barclays now when half of the starting lineup, you don't even recognize who they are.
All I remember at one point, Sean Kilpatrick was on the side.
Yes! And I had to literally look him up, like, who is this guy? You know, all due respect to him, but, like, he ain't Jimmy Butler, you know what I'm saying? He's not a top player, and you need that to win in this league and to draw fans. So, we here, we're with the bandwagon, we're excited. I want them to lose, but I want them to lose valiantly all 82 games. I'm here for it.
Well, speaking of that point, speaking of getting the right prospect, let's dive into our article, Jonathan Givney, ESPN. Because considering what's happening with Zion and RJ Barrett and all these other kids, the whole saga of Ben Simmons being forced to play at LSU, the G League, NBA's minor league, if you don't fuck with the NBA, this is all NBA talk today.
Gatorade League.
The Gatorade League, formerly known as the NBA D League, is going to offer $125,000 to elite prospects as an alternative to college. Hopefully beginning this summer of 2019. the article sort of breaks down a lot of the aspects of this. It's been promoted by Malcolm Turner, who is the president of the G League, and select contracts will be offered to certain players, which will be particularly targeted to these high school graduates who have not played a year of college basketball at all yet. So they won't have to be beholden to the NCAA amateurism rules, and they will be able to make money and feed their family, which is up from the previous salary of what DJ in the G League?
40 grand? 30, 20 grand?
35 grand.
That's close.
Well, in all seriousness, 35 grand is not anything, but it's also for 5 months. This, you know, so if people don't recognize, you know, like 35 grand a year, shit, I ain't playing basketball for that. It's still for 5 months. So, talking about 125,000 for 5 months. Some people will jump to that as, you know, an alternative to going to school. They can get this money, even though a lot of them get paid under the table more than that. Yeah. And some may get paid comparable, but also you get the access to the NBA facilities, NBA lifestyle, that sort of thing. And apparently...
NBA lifestyle and like... Grand Rapids, Michigan, or wherever.
Well, you know, the training and sets, and you know, they're supposed to supplement this whole thing with different sort of courses on financial management and healthy relationships and social media, all these things. But former Secretary of State, National Security Advisor, and I guess war criminal Condoleezza Rice, she's heading this chair on NCAA amateurism right now, the commission, and she says, you know, elite high school players with NBA prospects and with NBA prospects and no interest in college should not be forced to attend college, often for less than a year. Because at the end of the day, these kids, Ben Simmons, all these kids, they come in, they're going to practices and whatnot. As soon as the season's over, your season might be over mid-February.
Right.
Like, yo, I'm gone.
Not going to class. I'm unenrolling.
So with all this, it's a push forward to something that we've all been talking about for years, and NCAA knows. Adidas got swept up in the NCAA scandal. All this amateurism is foolishness, but there is a collective bargaining agreement that's not up until 2022, so the league is making this step in between. So it's interesting. I mean, I guess we have to all pay homage to LeVar Ball for pushing this narrative forward with the JBA.
Shout out to the JBA. What did that stand for? Junior Basketball Association?
Yeah, I've seen highlights of them like playing around. I'm like, damn, this is a weird... I just waited for the 30 for 30 because he just destroyed the youngest son's career like that, boy.
Which one?
Not the thief. The other one.
The one that Trump got out, right? Using quotation marks. Nah, LiAngelo. Yeah, no. LiAngelo Ball.
Yes.
Okay. So what, he's just off the map now because he's like just got absconded into this weird random league with like no real plugs?
He's supposed to be at UCLA, so it's odd.
Yeah, I mean, at least it was a market push by being a competition out there. It's just kind of the NBA's effort into this is obviously going to overshadow that just because of their massive wealth and institutional staying power. So that's going to be a wrap. And... is it just going to be like on an ad hoc basis, like the Nets scouting department? They're just going to look and see whoever's the hottest kid, and we'll just selectively give out contracts to whomever.
So a lot of the kinks in this are still being worked out, but there is a lot of questions which the article actually addresses. Because number one, first and foremost, they're actually targeting these young players for these contracts, these select contracts. But the average age of a G League player is 25.
Right.
So you're talking about these guys that are getting that. Let's say, I don't know, we have the next prospect.
Mookie Blaylock Jr.
The white kid, Matt McClung, next year.
Oh, I don't know who that
is. He's a white kid who has like fire. He's his fire mixtape highlights. And, oh, YouTube.
Yeah. Shout out to basketball mixtape.
Yeah, like it's good editing. It's such a big thing right now.
It's cottage industry.
He's going to Georgetown now. Okay. Let's say they're like, all right, we're going to give you $125,000. And I'm over here. I don't know. Well, somebody from I'm James Young, and now I'm in the G League.
James Young is in the what's the city in Louisiana? What's the
Baton
tree?
Boots.
Yeah, the Shreveport shrimp farmer.
So I'm in the Shreveport shrimp farmer, trying to make my way back to the league. I can pay $35,000 a year.
I'm tight.
So that's an issue. I'm trying to figure out what they're going to do with that. So is there going to be conflict between these players? And then all these other players are also getting these different contracts. You're talking about people who are getting NBA call-ups. That's a different financial situation.
Two ways,
10-day contracts. There's just all these contract issues that they really have to work out with that. Additionally, does that mean that it's like particularly for American players, these foreigners come in, or like a lot of these kids right now, for some reason, Vince Carter, a lot of these kids are Canadian now, they're coming in, are they beholden to the same system, or even some like Ben Simmons, or they just moved to America and now they're like part of this collegiate system?
Will it just be contingent on age? I mean, I feel like that's how they could just make the delineation. Like, if you are 18, you could just get down with this.
Yeah, but a lot of this has weird, like, when you're out of high school stuff, and like, or 19, so it's like, that's a little missionary.
Like, I started grade school early, you know.
I did, too.
Yeah, you know, had the smudge on the birth certificate.
Oh, that's what it was?
They're trying to hold me back.
How old is he?
Yeah, they tried to hold me back. Not because of my own intelligence, but rather because my birthday. It was after the school year started. Parents are like, fuck that. So, like, I would have...
We ain't watching them.
Right, so, exactly. Yeah. You know, in a different life, if I was that good at basketball and I come on, I'm 17 years old, but I wanted to get involved with this, that does seem like a gray area where there's a gap in what I could really do.
Especially if you finish school, because you have to be 18 by the September 15th of that year.
Oh, wow.
Before the season. So then, you know, that's an issue. Also, this idea of what it means for these G League teams. So, like, if I'm the next G League team, and I have this kid I'm paying $125,000. I'm like, all right, fuck the rest of y'all. We're not training y'all. We're not like showing y'all any love. Or it's sort of like, what are the politics of that? What are the politics of like other teams playing? Like it's a little bit nebulous as to how that's going to work. But, you know, Steve Kerr is like, he's with it. So.
Yeah, I'm more with it.
People are with it.
Yeah, I'm more with it than I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to take time. But I've been saying that for the longest. When I found out that it was $35,000, I was like, I don't like it. Shit. Might as well just go.
I can get $35,000 in Louisville. What do you mean?
What are you talking about, right? Exactly. Just have my guy, Rick Pitino, like, hey, Ricky, what's up?
Rick Pitino still swears up and down that like he had no idea what was going on. And he.
Weren't they delivering him like the freshest off brands, like sneakers that just like, not done?
Like Yeezys and shit. It's like, no, I mean, I just actually read an article about Pitino and his stripe. I believe he's writing a book. He now has a. Become a recluse in his Florida mansion, still living pretty fine because I'm sure he's been paid millions of dollars a year. He got fired. Damn. And he says, I think he's just arguing from a, like, obviously the other point of view, which is basically that he was in a highly leveraged situation, so he would never do something like that. But of course, he blames, you know, people under him, people on his staff that would do these things and he would just have no idea that they were doing it.
Yes.
Because he was just so removed from the situation. I find that generally hard to believe, but, you know, he swears up and down that he doesn't know. I'm sure Roy Williams and Coach K, if they ever get him, and John Calipari, all of them, homie from Arizona, they all just don't know what was going on.
Arizona, that shit is one of the main... And number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, DeAndre Ayton. Yeah. Still getting paid by Zona. No, I'm kidding.
that's a good life to live. You get extra contracts and everything like that. Additional note to the article, which kind of answers one of your previous questions. So with these contracts, you only can play on a G League select contract for a single year. So it is intended for these one and done type guys to do that instead of this NBA, instead of this collegiate system. So that maybe this thing will only exist for these next few years in between the next collective bargaining agreement.
Right.
And because once your select contract is over, either you get drafted or you come back down to that lower salary scale. So it's just a bag to get people to come into the G League for this period.
Yeah, I know I was, at some point was reading how they're steadily trying to build out the G League in the coming years, in preparation for what you did.
Almost there, man.
Yeah, just because once these kids, after 2022, after the Nets win the championship, I like that. Don't laugh. Yeah, after the Nets win the championship, they'll be getting drafted, but many of them still probably won't be NBA ready. So they'll be filtered into the G League system, so it has to be built out in a certain way to where it's still conducive for them to play in, and they don't feel as if they're just... I don't know, like James Young, for example, right? So none of those games are televised or anything like that, but I guess
never mind. You said the word televised. That's a good nationally televised. Yes, very, very
select word. Not within the Shreveport area.
No, they're on Twitch.
Oh, shout out to Twitch. I feel like everything is on Twitch nowadays.
Shit, NFL is too.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I guess we'll see. It's at least these things are moving in a positive direction in our favorite sport, in our favorite league. Shout out to Adam Silver.
Shout out to Condoleezza Rice.
I don't know about that. She's still supporting the NCAA, which it just seems like week after week, it's just story after story of just like ridiculous shit or ridiculous justifications for continuing the racket that it is and just not playing players. Or, oh, okay, we'll give you a 25 more cents for gum per week. All right, just leave us alone. You know, it's like ridiculous shit. But it seems as if the armor is steadily cracking. I think there's room for collegiate sports, but not in the capacity that it is right now. I think last time I checked, like 29 out of the 50 states, and 29 of them, the highest paid public employee is the head coach of the either the men's basketball or football team of the state school.
And it shows you where our priorities lie here.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Nick Saban. They are a juggernaut. But, I mean,
we had this weird discussion at work the other day where we were talking about the blatant corruption and sort of this thing with the G League. And the idea came up as to which sort of stalwarts in these coaches are would not be vulnerable to any sort of investigation because of what happened to Patino and whatnot. It's like, will they ever come for Coach K? And it's like, I don't know. I think, will they come for Saban? I don't know. It's just like, is the and then with guys like Calipari existing, mm-hmm. Will you just take the shots for all of them? And then they just allow these other guys who had these pristine sort of representation to slide right under the radar while, you know, the boosters play the same game?
I'm pretty sure that they've built up very sophisticated infrastructure to where, kind of like a mafia style or Russian or Trump administration, it's like the person at top, like, they don't necessarily know. They know, but they don't know. You know, like, you just make sure that it doesn't get back to the boss, but you just do whatever you have to do to keep the gears turning. So, you know, at some point in the mid-aughts, Coach K realized he needed more Brandon Ingrams on his team and less Greg Paulus's, and that happened. And, I mean, I don't know what either one of those dudes' grades were like, but I know the top three prospects for the NBA are now all on Duke right now.
Which has the better arm? Greg Paulus throw deep.
Right? I heard.
With Syracuse.
Yeah, Syracuse, right?
Start playing quarterback.
Yeah, shout out to him. Shout out to Jeff Samardzija. Shout out to all of the athletes that switch sports. David Price. I think. David played basketball.
Okay, I don't know. I was like, all right.
Matter of fact, fuck David Price. Red Sox beat my Yankees last week. I'm still hurt. They go into the World Series.
They are. Baseball is a thing, everyone.
Baseball is a thing. That's there. NFL's still going on. Patrick Mahomes is still a legend already.
Indeed.
I did my check. Yeah. So, I mean, sports is in full swing.
Leading my fantasy team to a 6-0 season thus far.
Yeah, well, shout out to your fantasy team.
Patrick Mahomes and Saquon Barkley and DeAndre Hopkins. Wow. Shout out to Autodraft.
Shout out to Autodraft. I'm doing well. I won my game. But now I'm facing some team. They have, like, everybody. Somehow just, like, everybody.
That's the person that, like, cared the first couple of weeks. If no one else was paying attention. Everybody was like,
right.
So many people up on waivers and shit.
Yeah, my win probability is, like, 35% right now. So I'm going to see if I could just, like, hey, move some people around.
Baseball, that's a good bad percentage, man. You're right there.
Hey, you're right there. You're right there.
So before, I guess, we head to watch NBA basketball, do we have any news and notes for the day, man?
Well, how much time we got?
Well, because we're about...
We have very prompt things to do.
Yeah, it's 7 o'clock. Game's at 7:30.
7 o'clock on a Friday. The fall has come, by the way.
It's brisk.
It's very brisky outside.
Scarf game is out. It's time.
Scarves are out. Fleece is out. Yeah. I guess... Well, it depends. We'll see where it goes. But I did want to ask you one just last NBA-related question.
Of course.
I was thinking I had a small epiphany. Stupid... It's kind of like a stupid sports take. I mean, a hot take type thing. But how lit would the NBA be right now for the one, if one thing happened, if Kevin Durant just was not on the Warriors. Like, you ever consider that?
All the time.
Because there are just a lot of very good teams and great players all over the league. And the parity would be there if he was just literally on any other team.
You know what's funny, too? As many years people complain about the East being weak, if Kevin Durant was on the Warriors, the East would be by far more like...
If he weren't on the Warriors?
Like, if he was just on another... Even on the West. He was on another team in the West. Yeah. Or he was somehow on the Eastern team. Like, the East is looking like very
strong. No, the top is good now. Yeah.
Strong. The top four or five teams. Honestly, I've been mentally... trying to will. Like, this works sometimes when I go, this trade needs to happen.
Yeah, he's doing like this Professor X. Yeah.
Jimmy Butler to the Wizards?
I mean, it looks like more like the Heat. I feel like the Minnesota is going to break down at some point and just take whatever.
I feel like the Wizards are probably like, we can't ask for that. They're just dumb.
They're just trying to get Boogie next year.
But they should just be like, yo, we'll get Jimmy Butler, Otto Porter, and we'll throw something else. And I would like that against, you're talking about the Bucks, Toronto, Celtics, Sixers. There's a lot of strong teams, and it's good to watch.
Finally, all these years of them being garbage has actually brought to fruition a few good teams. So that's really good. The West is stacked from top to bottom, although it's not as top heavy as it used to be. But yeah, man, I was just thinking. So maybe next year, you know, per Durant's brother from the sports blogs, I saw that he said they out of there after the season. So if they feel like it, more power to him. Maybe he goes to the Knicks or something like that. And then it really would be very ideal. I think it would be already the best.
Wide open.
Yeah, like really good. So that'd be dope.
So good to think about what would happen in a year.
I know, like after the Warriors win the championship again, barring injury, right? After they walk through the playoffs. Where do we stand now? Maybe besides that quandary, how much time have we?
Well, I mean, we're about I would say about 35 minutes into this illustrious podcast.
What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. What else? Do you have anything else to say? Anything non-basketball related? Can we do that? I mean, we only have so much more time to touch on un-basketball related things, so it could be a singular topic of NBA basketball during this podcast, or we can expand and delve into the world of politics for 4 to 6 minutes.
4 to 6 minutes. It's not long enough.
Of course.
I don't know. Anything basketball related that was on your mind?
When I think about it, not particularly, man. I'm just excited. I'm a big basketball fan now. As we've done this podcast, a lot of things have happened. A lot of things have changed.
Yeah.
A lot of things. It's been an interesting time. We've been doing podcasting at Two in a Bottle and Sending a Link for a long time. And now, luckily for me, I've managed to wiggle myself into actually the sports world somehow.
Yeah, probably.
So now it's like, you know, I have to worry about sports a lot more intimately than I had previously. But I'm excited for the NBA season. It's one of my favorite things. I'm excited to see roughly 22 games of Nets basketball.
Shout out to the half season ticket?
The half season, which is just more prudent.
Economical.
There's not even that.
Just prudent.
There's no reason for you to go to 44.
Yeah. Basketball what type of lunatic are you?
just to manage that, to like even be like, I need to sell off half these tickets. I need to, like, it's just.
This is why Kavanaugh had like hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt and like Nats tickets.
Wait,
and shit.
What?
You hear about this? No. He just go to Mad Nationals games and like take his friends, and he literally built up like tens of thousands, I think literally up to the hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt.
In season tickets for the Washington Nationals?
Yeah. Yeah. And for somehow, some way over the summer, that debt got wiped out. Like maybe he paid it off for somebody else. I swear, like that's not a conspiracy. I promise you it's not a conspiracy.
And baseball season tickets are that expensive?
Well, I think he was doing it just for consecutive years. And baseball is 162 games.
But he's a judge.
So,
baseball season tickets got to be like, I don't know.
I don't know.
$10,000?
That's a lot, though.
Not if you're making $200,000 a year.
Yeah, but debt doesn't mean you can't pay it off. It just means he had a lot of debt, and that's just weird.
But why? Why not
pay it off? Oh, I don't know. Shit.
just pay it.
Like leverage. Shit like, out. I mean, we go.
He's evil in corporate. I'm sure, like, somebody, you can't get that for a suite.
A suite, right? Like, I know. Like, make a good judgment of some oil company or some shit. It's like, right.
You don't even got to pay. Just come hang out.
Right. I don't know. Maybe he wanted to be closer. Maybe he wanted to be, like, in the action right behind the plate. And, like, really good seats.
You're in for a surprise, DJ.
Nah, I went to an Islanders game Shout out to the Islanders. RIP the Islanders. They'll be leaving Brooklyn in like
back,
a year or so.
Headed back out east.
Yeah.
To
land. Yeah, in the middle of Long Island. I think they're going back to the Coliseum.
Right.
Yeah, I actually had a homie from school. Shout out to Marcus, homie. He worked in marketing for the team, and he just was clear that it was just going. It was going terribly. Long Islanders were not trying to come out here for a mix of reasons. Some cultural, some racial, some financial, some trap. Just not being comfortable riding the LIRRR a couple more stops. I mean, that's
right to the
terminal's right here.
Right to the arena.
And this, and he just remember, and he was just lamenting to me about all these times in which he was, like just trying to ease people's fears. Like, dog, the terminal's right there. You literally go up the steps and you're right in front of the Barclays, but not enough people bit. And they didn't even adjust the logo to the Islanders anyway, so fuck them.
Like, were you supposed to move the little dot?
Yeah. The Islanders logo, like, all this shows is literally Long Island, but technically Brooklyn and Queens are both part of Long Island.
And they're, like, cut out.
Right? Yeah, and the star is, like, over. It's like, what the fuck? You playing over here, you don't even show love? Like, you could have at least just adjusted the logo. Although they did have cool alternate jerseys, the black and white one.
Yeah.
I wanted to get a customized one. I still haven't gotten around to getting one yet.
Good for the winter.
Yeah, good for the winter. Maybe. Maybe I'll go to Modell's across the street and try to get it before they leave.
Right. It'd be a classic, right?
Right.
In the future.
But no, I just went to an Islanders game on a whim to see the Penguins and the great Sidney Crosby last year with one of my homies. And we bought him on a whim and got the last, like, I got the tickets way at the top for like $14 to where my head could like rest on the back of the top. And yeah, it was far. Shout out to Nosebleeds.
It was not made for hockey. That was one of the things they complained about. There's some sight lines you can't see it, or like it hangs over the actual ice.
Not surprising. Yeah.
So that was one of the big complaints about the Islander fans coming in. But you know, it's interesting getting involved into like sports, like fandom as like a season ticket holder and all that sort of stuff. It's a weird sort of social purchase, because
I was about to say, like, that's another level, man. You stepped up.
I mean,
you
like, did. Like, honestly,
props to you.
In the future, I'd rather like plan with a group and just organize how to do it, because it's more financially feasible and also easier to manage. But it's like a weird social thing, because especially with a bad team, because they're constantly calling you and
right.
and asking you about things and weird stuff and trying to like just sort of keep you happy. They call me all the time.
I bought one Nets ticket through just the normal channels last season, and they still are calling me. I'm like, dude, no, just leave me alone. All these spam numbers nowadays.
So I will say they've had a bunch of activities, which are great. I'm getting a little value back. And even before this great game, which you're about to head off to, they were like, hey, you know, it's opening night. Just letting you know, you can come in a little early if you want to. You know,
yeah.
Check in. There's going to be lots of stuff going on. You can also use the back entrance. But we already know about that because we live
real ballers.
Real balling land.
Big baller brain.
So it's been another Sunderlink podcast. We appreciate you guys listening in. We know we have been gone for a minute, but blame Brandon because, you know, I'll take it. I'll take shots.
Nah, man, it's all good.
It's all good. But we're here.
We're here.
We're here for you guys, and we're always going to be here making great content, giving great articles, and awesome banter because we're pretty clever and witty. So
that's what we do.
Keep listening.
Yeah.
Appreciate everyone listening our last episode, Florida Man. It kind of blew up. So I don't know if you're humans or bots, but
shout out to the bots out there.
Y'all.
Yo, maybe it's all pop, but one of my people was explaining to me like the whole scheme of manipulating the algorithms particularly for social media, to get more followers and likes and stuff like that. It is crazy. It's fucking crazy.
No, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Well, go Nets, but don't go too far. Lose that game. And we'll be back next season. Opener.
All right. Talk to you guys
later.